JSE-listed real estate investment trust, ATTAC, the owner of the Mall of Africa, among many other assets, released their annual financial results today. For the 12 months ended June 2020, the company reported that core distributable earnings per share declined by 10.5% to 73.1 cents compared to the year prior. The company attributes the slide in earnings to the impacts of COVID-19 in the second half of their year. Net asset value per share declined by 25.8% to R16.45, and the company reports that its gearing levels rose to 45.7% compared to 37.7% in the year prior. Due to what they've described as uncertain times, the company will not be giving shareholders a final dividend. Well, to unpack the results for us, I'm joined on the line by Raj Nana. He's the Chief Financial Officer at ATTAC. Thanks very much, Raj, for joining us. So just remind us about the composition of your property portfolio and how things were going in the year under review up until the end of March.
Yes. So obviously we reported full year results ending June, but as you rightly pointed out, it's almost a split year in terms of a pre-COVID set of results and followed by 3 months worth of COVID results. Mm. Looking at our direct portfolio, just under 50% of the direct portfolio is retail-based, with about 42% in office and mixed use, and then the remaining 80% in light industrial. So looking at the retail portfolio, obviously the 3 months to June, quite challenging as a result of the lockdown and a lot of the tenants not being able to trade for the full three-month period. And I think, you know, we understood that and we engaged with them and we provided a substantial amount of rental relief. We provided about 103 million worth of rental relief in terms of discounts. And that was largely, you know, retail focused.
Yes.
And then provided an additional 10 million of deferrals. So I think the last 3 months challenging, but the portfolio held up, I think, really well. If you look at our overall occupancy rates, still in sort of 97-98%. In terms of the entire portfolio. And I think, you know, testament that the portfolio is quite strong and a good quality portfolio.
Yeah.
Definitely challenging times.
Yeah, that was an area that I wanted to discuss with you, the occupancy rate, that you managed to keep it more or less unchanged. You know that you have a client-centric approach to your tenants. Do you think that's part of the reason why you managed to maintain the occupancy rate at that level?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think what the asset management team have done really well is to really make it about the tenants. You know, without the tenants, you know, we don't have a viable business. So when COVID, hit us and we needed to understand what we could do to assist our tenants. And it's really been a long road with them and understand the challenges lie. And dealing with it on a tenant-by-tenant basis, you know, especially in the retail portfolio, you've got essential services tenants that have fared really well. In most cases, their turnovers have gone up. But you've got, you know, similarly challenging tenants in that, you know, restaurants haven't been able to trade properly. Cinemas have really, only started trading recently.
Yes.
With very limited seats available. And so trying to understand, you know, like I said, what the pain points are, and coming up with a solution that, you know, makes sense to them, but also makes sense to us.
So
definitely the client-centric approach, I think, is the best.
So just unpack your gearing levels of 45% for us. That's as opposed to nearly 38% last year or the year prior. What were the drivers there? And you also indicate that through initiatives like disposals, you're working on improving your balance sheet.
Yeah, so the balance sheet and in particular, you know, the income. And the interest cover ratio has been a focus for us for some time, even pre-COVID. And the increase in the gearing ratio period on period, like you mentioned, 45.7%, really driven by lower valuations. So assets taking various impairments. If you look at the property portfolio, roughly 1.7 billion worth of fair value adjustments downwards. And again, that's as a result of a tough economic environment, cap rates on average moving up between 25 and 50 basis points.
Mm.
We've also needed to impair our investment into MAS, that is equity accounted. However, this year with the share price trading at a significant discount to the net asset value per share, we've had to test that for impairment, and we wrote down the asset by $1.3 billion. down to its market value, left its cost to dispose.
Mm.
There have been a few other asset impairments. We've written down goodwill to zero, as well as our intangible asset. Both of them relate to our asset management, and that's resulted in a substantial reduction in the asset balances.
But yeah.
I think really, it's in the context of the environment that we're currently in.
Just for the benefit of the listeners, just expand on what MASS is all about. We know it's an investment that also invests offshore.
Yes. So MASS is a listed investment that has focused traditionally on Eastern Europe, particularly in retail assets, and has more recently, over the last sort of 18 to 24 months, focused on Central and Eastern Europe, with quite a dominance in Romania, where the team develops retail centres, from open air retail centres to large regional shopping centres.
Hmm.
And that change in strategy from Western Europe to Eastern Europe has been a focus for the new management team. They saw a lot of growth in that Central and Eastern European region. And I've got quite a track record operating in that space.
Right.
So for us, it's been a good investment in that it gives us the diversification out of South Africa and the rest of Africa into a region that had great growth prospects with the management team that had a great track record as well.
And I do see that you're looking to exit your rest of Africa investments. Has that been a failed strategy or what?
Look, a few reporting periods ago, we decided to focus our resources in South Africa, in particular in Waterfall. Obviously, we're busy with quite a large-scale mixed-use development, effectively developing a city. Africa hasn't necessarily worked out to our expectations.
Yes.
So some time ago, we have earmarked the rest of Africa as an exit strategy. We've exited a few assets during the previous financial year, and we currently have a few malls or shopping centres in Ghana and a dominant centre in Nigeria. On the latter, we are discussing a potential sale with an interested party, and hopefully in the forthcoming weeks we'll be able to conclude a transaction.
So here at home in South Africa, what have your observations been at your retail outlets post the reporting period, that is post June, July, August, and now in September? Have you seen quite a pickup in footfall?
A bit of a mixed bag. If you look across the six or so retail centres that we do track the footfall on, centres like Moedervuur Mall in Potchefstroom have had great footfall. Still down from this period last year, but by a very small margin. Some of the bigger centres, like Mall of Africa, have also improved post June, but are still lagging, the comparative period of last year. But we've definitely seen overall between June, July, and August that footfall pick up substantially, and we've also seen, I think, certain retailers' turnovers pick up quite nicely.
Right,
and I think that trend will continue. I think fortunately we're also in spring going into summer, and that will bode well for the restaurants and the leisure activities at the centres.
That's right. Well, you've sort of answered the question already, but in conclusion, in terms of your broader property portfolio, what's the outlook for the time ahead? Of course, you've just given us a report for your previous year. Your outlook for the rest of the year.
I think it's still a hell of a lot of uncertainty. I think retailers themselves are trying to also navigate and understand, what they need to do to position themselves in the next couple of months. But I think fortunately, most of them are going to be much better prepared. For example, some of the apparel retailers going into winter obviously have challenges in securing the right kind of fashion and having the right levels of stock. And those kind of challenges, no longer exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from a retail perspective, I think we're quite optimistic that, there will be a gradual pickup and a gradual recovery. But I think still challenging times. I think the economy is still extremely weak, and we're probably, we're going to take a number of years to see the economic environment recover to to pre-COVID levels.
Just tapping onto what you've just been saying, what about the office space? I mean, we're hearing, you know, all people are going to shift to working from home and all of that. Are you worried about that?
Look, I think, you know, the strategies by various corporates have been mixed. You know, so looking at it simplistically, we haven't had any major corporates chat to us about reducing space, and perhaps that'll come over time as the leases come up for maturity and enter into renegotiations. I think there are some corporates that have gone, you know, quite extreme in the sense that they're asking their, you know, their colleagues and workforce to work from home, almost, I want to say, on a semi-permanent basis, whereas there are other employers saying, look, you know, COVID has kind of accelerated in some ways flexible working arrangements, and at least the technology has been there to support those type of arrangements. But really, we need to have a combination of, you know, working from home or working remotely and working in the office. And I think from our own experience and perhaps chatting to some of our tenants,
yes,
you know, what you lack in working from home or working remotely is that real sense of collaboration, which I think you can really only achieve when you're sitting, you know, amongst these colleagues face to face. And we typically feed off everyone's energy. The creative kind of juices are flowing when, you know, you're in the office and you're talking about something and you're getting people excited. And it's very difficult to do that via a video conference. You know, you can't read body language, and guys are typically very focused on the subject at hand, and you kind of lose out on that peripheral discussions, which you know, end up, you know, becoming something so much more important in the long run. So hopefully it'll be a combination of, you know, some flexible working arrangements. But I certainly believe that, you know, working from home isn't the solution. It's part of a, you know, a combination of solutions.
That was Raj Nana. He's the Chief Financial Officer at Attack.